Thank you very much, Gordon. I'm sorry the DVD didn't work in intermission. I was going to have some Swahili praise songs, but it's evidently on a different format that we can't play here. So anyway, I'm so glad that you'll get to see some of the pictures as well. When I look at these medicines here, it reminds me of teaching pharmacy in Africa. I have to teach with objects, and it's neat to have some of the things that we're going to talk about in front of me. We're going to be talking about this last trip I took to Africa on between March 23rd and April 30th. The theme is going to be about God's grace shown to us during the trip. I'd like to read the text this morning, which is Ruth chapter 2, verses 10 through 19. If you'd like to stand, I think it's very appropriate if you're able to stand with us while I read the word and then remain standing. I'll pray at the end before we get into this talk. So why don't we just rise and I'll read the text from Ruth chapter 2, verses 10 through 19. And when we get to verse 16, that's the theme of today. So she, which is Ruth, fell on her face and bowed down to the ground and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" And Boaz answered and said to her, "It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and mother and the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." And then she said, "Let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants." Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, "Come up here and eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar." And so she sat beside the reapers. And he passed parched grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied and kept some back. And when she arose to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves. Do not reproach her. And also let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it so that she may glean, and do not rebuke her." And so she gleaned in the field until evening, and beat out what she had gleaned, and there was about an ephah, a half a bushel of barley. And then she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. And so she brought out and gave to her what she had kept back after she had been satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where have you gleaned today? And where did you work? Blessed is the one who took notice of you." And she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked, and he said, "The man's name whom I work today is Boaz." Let's remain standing while I have a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you so much for this day, your day. We thank you for the opportunity of opening your word. And we thank you for this beautiful picture of your grace. The handfuls of grain left on purpose for Ruth to glean. And we thank you that throughout this trip there have been so many handfuls of grain left for me to pick up. And I want to share those this morning with each one here, that they would be blessed as I was during this trip. We thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for all that you have done for us. And we commit ourselves now to you for the rest of this meeting and praying these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Just again, as a word of introduction, if you are here, and I've talked before about some of these trips to Africa, I had this map. I've added a few red arrows here, which give you an idea of what was different this time. I flew in from Philadelphia to Uganda direct, a nice flight. And then MEMAF was doing a maintenance on one of their planes in Uganda. So they finished their maintenance, and I was their passenger to go back to Bunia, where we would be living for the first 2.5 weeks, or I would be. After 2.5 weeks there in Bunia and some other activities in that area, I flew down with MAF again to Goma, down to the south at the bottom of that heart. And then from there, I was expecting just to go out through Rwanda once and come back home. But there in Goma, I learned of some really interesting stuff going on in East Africa with relation to medicinal plants, and particularly in Tanzania. And I'm glad Fiona's here. She's leaving tomorrow for Tanzania, and so she's going to be able to see some of these things firsthand as well. After going to Tanzania, I went back to Kigali and then back to Congo again, and spent most of the 2.5 weeks there in Goma, but had this side trip to East Africa. But it was a wonderful, safe trip. I'd like to just introduce this by saying, when I got back, I thought I missed spring. But it was just starting, really. I didn't really miss an awful lot. And it was great to come back and see everything coming back to life, because I hate winter. it just drives me nuts. But when things start to come back to life again, and then even in my daily readings, the one-year Bible, you know, just before I came, I was reading in Judges, and you know, it's just so depressing. And then you get to Ruth. Just as I was getting back, I was getting into Ruth, and I just love that passage that we read today, which has so much to say about the grace of God and how God showered his grace on someone undeserving, Ruth, in that case, but exactly the same for all of us. None of us deserve the grace of God, and yet God has showered that upon us. And it's just so wonderful to think about some of these things again. An outsider to grace becoming an insider by faith. That's what Ruth was all about. That's what all of us who have trusted Christ for our Savior have experienced in our own lives. Ruth came under the wings of the Lord God for refuge. Beautiful picture in the Hebrew language of about someone who comes under God's protection. And that's exactly what we have done as well. And so when we come under him for protection, he leads us and guides us every step of the way. As he led Ruth to the field of Boaz, her kinsman redeemer that she didn't know about at the time, but later on found out that he was the one who could replace her husband who had died. And eventually we know how that all turned out and how she married Boaz, and it's a great love story. But the child that was born from that marriage was the ancestor of King David, who was the ancestor of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, or the Lord Jesus Christ. So grace to an outsider brought into that family by grace, just like us, to now be in the family of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, just exactly like us. It's a wonderful thought. Well, I discovered, as probably all of you have, that you don't really experience this grace of God if you just sit home and do nothing. You've come to understand this grace of God when you actually are actively involved in some sort of service for him, and you're doing what he wants you to do. And while you're working, then he shows you all these sheaves of grain that he's left for you, tokens of his grace. And they are so important. They not only help the one who gathers them, but they can be of such a great benefit to those who can share them with you later on, like Naomi did with Ruth. So these handfuls that were left on purpose for her to glean are so helpful, and Ruth was such a great example to all of us that as I was reading this, I thought, wow, there are so many examples in this trip of things that God has just kind of left there to be picked up as a token of the grace that he wanted to show me during this trip. I enumerated 7, not that it's perfect, but they came to mind, and I thought, well, this is what I'm going to talk about today. I'm just going to list them for you, and then we'll go into each of them in a little more detail and then have some pictures that illustrate them as well. Funds for the trip. Families to stay with. Fellowship with believers. Flight safety. Friends, old and new. Fruit and medicinal plant farms. You don't always talk about that here in the chapel, but I do. And fields of dreams. Notice fields is in plural. So we're going to look at those 7 evidences that God left for me to glean, and I'm going to share them with you, like Ruth shared with Naomi, some of these things, and hopefully you'll be blessed, just as I was in receiving these tokens of God's grace. First of all, funds for the trip. We don't talk about funds. Missionaries don't talk about funds beforehand. But afterwards, I can say that's a great thing that God did for us. He provided for us. Because you don't go from here to Africa without a ticket and without visas and without hotel reservations, with all this stuff that takes money. We don't talk about that, but I want to give praise to God for providing that through so many here at the chapel and others who have contributed through CMML. It was a great blessing to see that. And God left these tokens of His grace in monetary form for me to just to pick up. And not only me, but for Glenda, who was here and had to pay the bills. And she stayed by the stuff while I was there in Africa. She had to keep paying the bills and put food on the table. And you provided all of that through CMML as well. So we're just so thankful. But that's not why I'm here to talk about money. I'm just thankful to the Lord for that token of His grace. But I want to talk about the families that I stayed with. I basically was in four different places. And in each place, God gave a family for me to live with and to share time with. And I just appreciated it so much. I didn't appreciate the time. I didn't, you know, I was going to an outdoor toilet in a rainy season to take a shower is not my idea of fun. But the people I was with were great. And not all of the bathroom conditions were quite like in one place. But anyway, we had a wonderful time with the fellowship. First of all, with Mondro and Kiza, the couple in Bunia that I stayed with before. He's the head of the medical work of the assemblies in Congo. Then I stayed, we had a church conference the following weekend, and that's where I had the privilege of being outside and doing some of the necessities outside. I'm glad I live on the border of Lancaster County, and I happen to know what to do in those little houses outside. But anyway, Etienne and Amoti in Zikako are really, it's a young couple. For probably the first time they've ever had a white person living in their house. They were wonderful hosts and hostesses, and we just loved them and their kids. And then as I went to Goma later on, I was able to stay with longtime friends. They actually own a hotel. So I stayed in one of the rooms of the hotel that they own, but I was their guest. I didn't have to pay the couple hundred dollars a day that normally you would pay. And also, when I did go over to Rwanda, I was able to stay with a new person I never met before until this trip, Emmanuel and his wife Yvette, who were involved with natural medicines there in East Africa. So I'll talk about that in a minute, but just also when I came back from there, the one pharmacist I was with, Pascal, he has a younger brother who lives right on the town at the border with Congo and Rwanda. And he opened up his house as well for use during comings and goings there, which was very helpful. That's Mondro and Kiza, delightful couple. I taught him as a student many moons ago. He's a nurse, went on to do dentistry. And now he was the right-hand man for Pearl Winterburn at Chabi and all the places that she used to work at. And now he's full-time working there as the medical coordinator of the churches in Bunia and has a much wider ministry than he had before just at one location. Great couple, loved the Lord, had wonderful times of fellowship with their family. He's got three kids still living at home. While I was there, he had three adopted children also living at home. He had two guests like me also staying with him. So their African families just sort of expand to keep. It doesn't really matter. They're so hospitable. And Mondro and Kiza were wonderful hosts there in Bunia. There in Chomia, where we had this conference the following week, this is the young couple there on the left that entertained so much. They wanted to share with all of the team that was meeting, the administrative people of the churches that were meeting, and so they invited about 20 people to their house for lunch. They couldn't eat inside, so they just set up a picnic table outside, and we had a delightful time there, one lunch. That's the couple I stayed with in Goma. Victor and Brigitte are a wonderful Christian couple, and they've been very successful in business. The Lord has blessed them, and they want to return some of that blessing to the Lord's work. They have been involved with the Baptist Church in the Goma area for many years and also helped secure land for the future pharmacy there from the Baptists. It was given to them, and we'll talk about that in a moment, but they are just a delightful couple, and the daughter lives there as well, and she's the administrative secretary for her dad, who is the president of this company. And that's the new guy I met in Rwanda, Dr. Emmanuel, and his wife Yvette, and their little baby Ryan, 1 year old. And again, a delightful couple that entertained us, went out of their way to just show us so much, so great hospitality. He's going to be moving or setting up a clinic like he has there in Rwanda. He's going to be setting up a similar clinic there in Goma, and that's why I got to know him a little bit there in Goma first, and then he went with us to see some of the work that he's been doing already in Rwanda next door, in the house I stayed with there in Gisenyi on the border. The third thing I'm just thankful for, that the third token of God's grace, after finances and families to fellowship with, were the fellowship with other believers. Everywhere we went, it was just a pleasure to fellowship with believers. First of all, in Bunia, where I arrived just a couple days before Easter, and so I had the privilege of being there on Easter Sunday and ministering there. And then the following weekend, I had this annual conference of all the assemblies in a place called Chomia, which is down because it really is down at the lake that borders Uganda and Congo. And along the western side of that lake, there's a fishing town called Chomia, and that's where we had this conference. Wonderful time there. Never been there before, but it was a wonderful experience, and the fellowship with the believers there, again, was like one of these tokens of God's grace that he just gave us to pick up, like Ruth picked up there in the fields. Also, the following weekend, I had a chance to minister in an assembly at a place called Central Solanyama. I had been there before, but I'd never preached there, and a couple of weeks before I left, they had a huge storm there, and it blew off the roof of their dispensary, the medical work there. And some believers had given me fellowship to share with them, and so I was able to take some cash out with me to help with that, and then also just minister with them on the Sunday. It was a real special time as well. I'll have pictures of that coming up. And then we had a chance not only in Goma, these places, but in Goma as well, and also had funds with me that were designated for some needy saints and full-time workers and some of the sick. I was able to help. I mean, the opportunities to minister to people were just incredible. And so I'll show you a couple of those pictures. This is Easter Sunday in Bunia, one of the choirs. I think they had five different choirs that day. And the music, and I wish we could have shown the DVD, but it was the wrong format for here. But they just love singing. They have wonderful choirs. They write their own music most of the time. And they have a traditional hymn book they use. And then after they finish some traditional songs, and they say, now we're going to start our worship songs. And they have their own music. And, oh, it's great. And definitely you don't keep your feet quiet. You move around a little bit. Had the opportunity to speak at each of these places. This is it. The well-decorated assembly there in Chomia. Every place you go, they have these, I guess they use them for weddings and everything else, but, and this was Easter Sunday, and they had, the week before was Easter Sunday, they have a Christmas tree still going, you know, lights blinking and everything. I said, why don't you take it? Oh, we love it. It's just so festive. One of the choirs there at Chomia as well, and they have lots of musicians came, delegates from all these assemblies were attending, and they had 139 delegates there at this conference. A couple of them, they were divided up into regions, and there are now, I think it's 23, no, a bunch of regions, were geographical regions, and each region would send several delegates, and usually if they had a musician, they'd send the musician as well. So they were getting together. They had a real wonderful praise band there and singing the hymns and just had a wonderful time. Even the ladies cooking food for these 139 guests at each day, a four-day conference. How'd you like to clean those cooking pots? Some of those utensils in there could have been used, but they're pretty small. I think you need almost a paddle-sized thing. And some of their praise and worship music, very, very touching. I don't know how to express. You have to be there. But it was a wonderful experience, including meeting at the Lord's Supper there. Just very similar to what we do here. They use wooden trays instead of metal trays, but the rest is pretty much the same. And also the numbers of people attending were a lot more than usually found here. Able to minister to a number of friends, old and new. The fellow next to me is one of the seminary students that we helped, and now he's the leader of one of the assemblies there in Bunia, his wife next to him, and some of his family and invited friends. Everywhere you go, they just invite everybody they can to enjoy the fellowship together with you. The last Sunday I was in the Bunia area, I went to this Charles Solinama place. I actually spoke in the little place on the left, the yellow building, but next door to it is a brand new chapel. They're almost finished. Probably next time I'm there, we'll be worshiping in that building, which holds 500. The other one probably has about half that space. That's typical. A lot of buildings, a lot of assemblies are expanding, growing. They can't fit in the old buildings that they had 10, 20 years ago. They're now building new places, and it's very encouraging. Instead of one assembly like when we left Bunia, there are now eight new ones have sprung up, and they're not tiny ones. They're like this. Met with some of the elders. They probably had a dozen elders there, and some of the medical workers as well. That's the place where the roof blew off. And so after we had a meal together, they took us to see this dispensary where you can see the tarp on the roof there, the green tarp, and next to it's another colored tarp. And at the very end of the building, right over that man's head, is the regular roof. That's the maternity. And while the storm was blowing off the roof of the other two-thirds of the building, a lady was giving birth in the maternity, and that roof stayed on the whole time. God preserved that part of the building so she could give birth without any problems, but then the rest had to be replaced. They temporarily put this tarp on it, but they're looking for the means to complete they have to build new rafters and put metal roof on again. That's the maternity on the left that was not destroyed, and then the health center on the right that was totally messed up. One of the leaders, the leading brother there in the Goma Assembly, again, we had privilege of helping and fellowshipping with him. He flew down after the conference to Goma. Before that, he was taking care of his sick father in the hospital there up in the Nyankunde area. And then after he was able to stabilize his father, he was able to fly down to Goma and be our host down there in the Goma area when we went to the assembly there. Also met another widow that I hadn't seen in 30-some years. This is the oldest living relative of Pascal. The pharmacist there on the left is one of my coworkers, the one I was working with in Goma. This is his oldest relative, and she was one of the stalwarts in the Nkundi Assembly when we were there. She sewed clothing for our kids when they were growing up, our little Heather and Sherry. She made their clothes. She was a seamstress. And now she had to flee the country during the problems, and we went and visited her, and it was just encouraging to see her going on, and she was certainly encouraged by the visit. So, lots of things to be thankful for, the grace of God, and the other one, the next one, you never take for granted, flight safety. MEF stands for Missionary Aviation Fellowship, and we had a big work going on there at Nyankunde while we were there. They're now back. There are five families back at Nyankunde with all their airplanes and everything, but almost all the maintenance is being done there, but some of the major stuff is still done over in Uganda. And really appreciate what they do, and especially as I was flying in their one-engine plane, the same plane that we flew in 30 years ago. It's still running. They keep it so well maintained. But as we were flying along, the pilot, I was sitting up front with him in the co-pilot seat, and I was listening to him talking to the base there at Neuquindi, some of the other pilots, and said, you know, I don't have full power. There's one of the cylinders that's not working. And when you have one engine above a lot of trees, it's something you turn around and get fixed. And so he turned around and went back to Neuquindi, which gave me a neat chance to visit, quote unquote, home again. But I'm so thankful for many, many thousands of miles traveled that way. This is an aerial view of Neuquindi. That is Neuquindi Mountain. Love Mountain in Swahili is Neuquindi. And at the base of that mountain is this is the church down here. And I should have turned off these lights. You can probably see better. Down here at the base is the assembly building. It needs a coat of paint now, but it can hold 1,000 people. And that's the Bible school in Neuquindi. And secondary school buildings. And hidden in the trees, unfortunately it doesn't show up as well, is all the medical work. And we used to live right about in there. But it was great to be back at Neuquindi again and have our plane looked after by two of the pilot on the right there is the one who was flying the plane, and then Dave on the left, the other Dave. When they landed, they, within a minute, had the cowl off and pulled the fuel injector and were cleaning and checking to see if the dirt or something that was in there causing the thing to misfire was taken care of. And our test drive was to go back in the plane and fly to Goma, and it worked fine. So they found the problem and got it fixed. Met a lot of new friends and old as well. I want to introduce you to some of the key people, like the leader of the churches there, Paul, you know, and Paul's coming here in the next month. There'll be a meeting of the Christian Pharmacists Fellowship at the beginning of June, and he has a ticket that was provided by his son to get over to the States, and then to the States, and then I'm going to take him home for a week here in this area. He'll meet with us. He'll be here for Father's Day, the 19th, and then the Wednesday before that as well. We're looking for an opportunity for him to share with you what's going on. But you know Paul real well. You support him regularly, and he's going to come here in person to thank you for all that you do. Pascal's the one I showed you a picture of earlier in Goma. He came to know the Lord at Neuquindi as a student, then he worked with me, and then he... I've been in touch with him for 30-some years, and now he's one of the ones that's helping with this pharmacy factory project there in Goma. And a new guy, I mean, this is Simon is a pharmacist that is graduating this month from pharmacy school, 5 years, in the university there in Bukavu, which is south of Goma, on the lake, at the bottom end of the lake. And he came up that lake, traveled overnight by boat, come up and have a visit with me and then go back for his studies the next day. But it was nice to see Simon again and know that he'll be available very shortly to help with a number of church projects that involve pharmacy. And then this new guy, Dr. Emmanuel, that I showed you a picture of, he's very much interested in the natural medicines. And I mentioned, I think last time, that the key person we had been working with for years died. My name is Cyril. And when Cyril died, we didn't know what was going to happen, because with him went a whole encyclopedia of knowledge about medicinal plants and all that kind of stuff. But this guy, I have said that he's like Cyril on steroids. He's a big guy, but he's also, I think, intelligent-wise and everything else. He probably knows a lot more about some of this stuff than even Cyril did. So he has accepted to work with us in this project down in Goma, and he's actually going to set up a whole clinic there where he'll treat people using natural medicines, and then eventually we'll be growing them there, these plants, and producing them for use in the Congo. And it'll be interesting to work with him. He's a really fine believer, and really have appreciated getting to know him. We met so many others, I can't even begin to introduce you to them all, but this is Dr. Kato. He is the leader of all of the assembly work in Congo. He's been to the States a number of times. He is the president of the theological seminary as well. He wants to step down from that and just devote himself to church work, but for now he wears a couple of hats, and he's a very capable, but one who needs a lot of prayer because he just has so much on his shoulders right now. Dr. Kato, be praying for him. And then Paul, you know, we had a seminar for a week. Well, we met for a week and talked about the medical needs, trying to have a five-year plan, and especially the needs medically. And Paul was with us for that time, but he also, we asked him to be our chaplain and lead us in devotions. And so here's Paul leading us in a Bible study there in Bunia. Paul with Mondro, as we were meeting together and talking about the Hope Pharmacy Project and other things that are very much critical to the future of the work. Pascal there on the left, the pharmacist who worked with me for many years, and again, one of our students, someone we trained back in the 80s, 1986 to 90, I guess he graduated in 1990, done very well. He's now a director of a pharmaceutical firm. He's an exceptional example of some of the folks that we trained and have gone on very well, not only pharmaceutically but spiritually. And it's a great honor to work with some of these guys and see them coming along as the next generation to work with us. And there's Simon, the guy who's graduating this month. He needs our prayers. Dr. Emmanuel and one of his clinics there in Kigali in Rwanda, some of the pharmaceutical products he has, they have a health bar there. People can come in and buy health drinks, natural fruit juices and other things added to it as a health drink. And they'll come there and sit there, have their drink, and then go home. And they can also buy things to take home as well. Advertising some of the natural, modern herbal medicines that he grows and produces and uses in his practice there in Kigali, and he hopes to do that in other places in Congo as well. Some of the products that are made there locally that we could also make in our factory and not even have to import them, and this is in the plans, of course. One of the brothers that I worked with for years, and now he's married and living in Bunia, working with the youth there. Just these people we trained and worked with, and now they're inviting us to their homes and sharing with us some of the blessings that they have experienced in God's work. So it's a great joy. But I met somebody new, little Rachel, 10 years old. She was dying of AIDS, and she's one of the ones that got the triple nutritional therapy, the TNT as we call it, the combination of aloe vera, artemisia, and moringa, or whey protein, a source of protein, and in a month, she got off her bed, dying, was back at school, and now has her life ahead of her, just because of some products that we made and distributed from the States, the triple therapy. When I got to Africa, not only did I discover people like Rachel who had been helped, so many have been helped, but I discovered that there's other people in East Africa using the same three things, and they do it in powder form. They package it up in these nice little pouches. And this contains the three drugs that we use as well separately, and they have it all together in a nice little pouch. And Dr. Emmanuel and others have been working with these things and, again, proven that it's very effective. It's actually approved by the Tanzanian FDA for use. So one of the great discoveries, the grace of God in touching this life through things that we can provide and giving her a new lease on life again. The next thing we want to talk about are fruit and medicinal plant farms and factories. I mean, I kind of gave it a little segue here, but this is big in Tanzania. In Tanzania, there are 75,000 natural medicine practitioners. 75,000. 80% of the medicines practiced in Tanzania is natural medicines and not the Western stuff. And they have 11,000 of these practitioners are actually approved by the Ministry of Health. They have 10 products that they have had approved by the Tanzanian FDA and a lot more in the pipeline. They can treat all kinds of things using natural products there. And we hope to exploit some of that knowledge and do the same thing in Congo. But it's we have a lot to do, but there's a lot more that can be done easily, and Dr. Emmanuel, with all his experience, is going to be a great help to us in doing that. We did visit some of his clinics and fields of medicinal plants and so on. I'll show you pictures of that. He's also involved in a radio ministry where some of the health messages, the benefits of taking some of these things, can be incorporated into gospel messages broadcast over a Christian radio station. Tremendous way of getting the news out, not only the good news of salvation, but the good news of health that is available to folks. And so we're trying to replicate some of that work in Congo. When I got to Tanzania, the first person I met was the guy on the left there. He comes from the island of Zanzibar. He's obviously a Muslim, but he's also one of the world's experts in medicinal plants. And the guy in the white suit is the head of the Federation of Traditional Medical Healers there in Tanzania, the head of the 75,000. He's the organization's head. He's doing a lot of research. He's the one that gets a lot of these products approved after doing research and proving that these work as well as other things, getting them approved by the government. But he works with the university there. And unfortunately, it's not the university that Fiona's going to be working with, but I gave her the contact for him, and maybe she'll be able to call him or have some email back and forth about some questions. She has to write a paper on natural medicine when she comes back from her trip, so maybe he'll be a resource for her. When he walked into the office, there's a fish pond there. There are vines growing all over his place. He's got this mural in the background. It looks like Longwood Gardens with fountains and stuff. Music is playing softly and relaxing. This is the typical office of somebody involved in natural medicine over there. Visited one of their factories, actually a repackaging facility where some of these bags are filled. They take the leaves or whatever they're doing, they grind them up into powder, and the right amount is measured into the packets for use for a week. It's usually a week's dose. They take the powder and mix it in with hot water, make a tea out of it, and drink it a couple times a day, and that gives tremendous help, and it doesn't cost an arm and a leg. And that's the big thing for us, how to help so many people who have needs without a great expense. Some of the products that they make there in their factory, and I took pictures of that. But Dr. Emmanuel took us around to see some of his farms. This is a farm where he grows a passion fruit. They had just started to grow, but they'll grow up on these trellises, and eventually they can produce incredible amounts of passion fruit per acre. And this can be sold to make fruit juices or become a source of revenue for the medical work. They also grow other medicinal plants and vegetables and healthy foods. Here's Artemisia growing. I didn't see this in Tanzania. This is from another source, but that's what Artemisia looks like when it's growing in the fields, and that's what aloe looks like when it's growing in the fields as well. So when you put all those together with the moringa and those leaves, when you dry them and crush them up, it becomes a green powder like this. You can mix that with your food. You can becomes one of the three ingredients that are used. The pods that he's harvesting, I forgot to bring with me. I have some of those pods. I'm going to try to actually plant that in my garden this year. Moringa, the most nutrient-dense botanical on earth. I mean, this is like a plant. It's like eating meat when you eat the leaves of this plant. It has so much protein, has so many other vitamins and minerals and essential things in your, all the 20 essential amino acids are in there. It's an incredible source for bodybuilding for people who are, have been sick, like with AIDS patients. And you need to, if you don't know anything about Moringa, you need to get into that. It's a big, it's being sold now in the States quite a bit as well, but nothing like in Africa. Chia seeds. Chia plants are used for a lot of medicinal uses, including weight loss, but grown in Africa and can be harvested for their seeds, and the seeds can bring actually a lot of cash crop for helping to subsidize some of these other activities as well. Some of the appropriate technology equipment that they use over there, very simple. This little machine can put out 200 capsules. It takes maybe 20 seconds to make those, and in a day they can make a lot of capsules. Nothing like a pharmaceutical industry where they have these big machines that, you know, can run out hundreds of thousands every hour, but they cost a lot of money, and they take a lot of maintenance. This is very simple and much more appropriate actually for some of these products to be made locally there in Africa. Dr. Emmanuel on his radio broadcast, he actually interviewed us on the radio live, and our voices went out talking about what we were doing and bringing a gospel application as well into the message that was being translated into the local language. But it's great to be on that station along with Pascal and join Dr. Emmanuel. He hopes to start a clinic at the end of this month. Some of the buildings at the hotel where we stayed are not being used for tourists. There's not any tourists these days in Congo. And so there's some buildings that aren't being used enough to justify their existence. And they're going to convert six of these rooms into a health clinic, a wellness center, have a whole campus there where they can do all the wellness activities. I mean, plus they have jogging trails, they have, they're going to put treadmills and saunas and all that stuff in there. There are a lot of people in Goma who have money, work for the UN, work for other places, and they're going to be helping to treat some of these people and be able to try some of these medicinal plants there at the hotel. The Field of Dreams was the last thing that I wanted to mention as a recent example of God's grace. There's a conference center that once needs to be built in Bunia on one of the fields, and then there's another field that will be in Goma for the factory. They're doing what they call harambe, which is a Swahili word for let's all pull together. The easiest way you can describe this is when an Amish family, they have a barn raising, and there's a gazillion people that all swarm there and build a barn in one day. This is what they're going to be doing. All the assemblies in July are going to be having a special offering, and now with 254 assemblies, all giving toward a project to build this conference center, they expect to really kick this off well. And I talked to the brethren at CMML, I talked to the elders here. We're also going to have fellowship with them. In the month of July, we're going to have a special offering basket in the back, an African basket. And we're going to be asking people to not just, the tithes, nothing changes for the normal tithing for the church and the ministry here, but we'll have a special offering that will participate with them. The assemblies in America will be participating with the 254 assemblies that are in Congo to help build this conference center that they need so desperately. And then also the other land down in Goma area where this factory will be built, the natural medicine factory. Eventually they'll also have a water factory there, bottled mineral water and fruit juices and other things. And eventually as we grow enough, they hope to make IV solutions. I met with somebody yesterday who has a ton of experience working in Africa and building IV factories. So I think it's, again, just maybe a coincidence that God led me to the one person who could help me to do this, because it's way above my pay grade. But this guy's been doing it, and he said he'd love to help us out when the time comes. So hopefully we can take some of that really clean water and just purify it a little bit more and make IV solutions like we used to do in the Inquity, but this will be for helping a whole region to get the supplies that they now import. There's no IVs made in the country. They all have to be imported at great expense. So this is a great way of helping using God's resources in a way that we should be able to do it. This is the Field of Dreams in Bunia. For years, they've owned this piece of property. When you fly into Bunia, it's now the regional capital. There's a million people there, and you see all these buildings everywhere except this one little place of green in the middle, and that's where this is. It's been very much, people want to build there, but the church owns it, and they're going to be developing it for this conference center, but there's also plenty of land. They were thinking about trying to put a pharmaceutical distribution facility there as well, if that plan goes forward. We don't know yet. We're still waiting on the Lord, but there's plenty of land there. People who could do it, just a little bit of resources that are still lacking. This is the second Field of Dreams down in the Goma area, down in a place called Rangira. There are 28 hectares, 69 acres have been given by the Baptist Church there for this project, and plenty of land. And we own the water system there. We own the, there'll be 24-hour hydroelectric power right at the doorstep. So we have everything we need to build a factory there, but in the meantime, we're just starting slowly, planting fields, getting started with small stuff, and eventually hope to build a factory if the Lord enables. That was the drawing that we made a year ago. It's still there on paper, but eventually that'll be turned into reality if the Lord wants that to happen. So in conclusion, God has been faithfully supplying all of our needs, and we thank you again for all that you have done and for your prayers. God has left handfuls on purpose, tokens of his grace all the way through, as I've tried to mention, the people, the fellowship, the safety in flying, and all those things God, we take for granted, but God has really showered his grace upon us. The future needs are tremendous. When I look at them and see these fields and what it would take to make them operational, and we're talking about not just something you can put in an offering plate, but for instance, this conference center is going to cost probably about $1.3 million. The factory is going to cost another $3.3 million perhaps. So these are not things that we can come up with. We don't have those kind of deep pockets, but God does. God's people do. And so as we look to him, we'll see how he works this out. If it happens, you know miracles happen. But in the meantime, we're all praying and planning and planting. And the next trip hopefully will be August, September time frame. We don't know for sure. Nothing's been arranged, definitely. They've been asking if Glenda can come next time as well. We're hopeful that'll work out. So we need to be playing for the political stability of the country. There's still always issues there. Elections are coming up after the trip would happen, and whether they happen or not, and whether the country remains stable during that time, all this is still up in the air. But we need to be praying that the Lord will make it clear to us what the timing would be for our next trip. So, with that, I almost stopped on time. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for all that you have done, for the many tokens of your grace that we have been able to glean, just as Ruth did from the fields that were, the workers were instructed to leave handfuls on purpose for her to glean. And you have left handfuls on purpose for us everywhere we went. And we just thank you so much for providing this and for all the blessings that we have seen and experienced and known during this trip. We thank you for each one here who has given and been praying faithfully. And we just continue to ask for your wisdom and guidance for the future plans and for knowing what you would have us do next. So we commit all these things to you and ourselves now for the rest of this day. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.